From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for being here. Great show for you today. We're particularly excited about our guest who'll play Not My Job. It's Congressman Aaron Schock of Illinois. At 28 years old, he is the youngest member of Congress. That's why, by the way, the new health care reform bill working its way through the House has a provision providing for a public subsidy for Clearasil. He'll be answering questions later on. Why don't you show him how it's done, though, first? Give us a call, the number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Sophia Heller calling from Washington, D.C.
Hey, how are things in Washington?
They are good.
It's all empty and quiet now that everybody's gone home for the recess, right?
Well, you see all the groups of tourists and their matching T-shirts.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Do you like to run over to the empty Capitol and sit in their seats and pretend to pass laws? That's more
yes,
or less what
I
they do.
That's
so,
what they do,
yeah.
Right.
Well, welcome to the show, Sophia. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and the author of the new best-selling book, Idiot America, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Sophia.
Next, it's the wise, wise woman behind the advice column, Ask Amy, and the author of the memoir, The Mighty Queens of Freeville, Ms. Amy Dickinson.
Hi, Sophia.
Lastly, a humorist and the author most recently of Alphabet Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hi.
Hi, Sophia. How you do?
Good.
Sophia, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl this time. Of course, Carl Castle will start us off with three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. Do that, you win the prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. Your first quote is a series of concerned citizens. Here's one woman in Pennsylvania.
I don't want this country turning into Russia.
Now here's that same woman again a little bit later on Fox News.
I don't want my children coming to me and asking me, Mom, why do we have to wait in line for toilet paper?
Mm-hmm. And here's a sign we saw being waved about on cable news.
Down the chute, Granny.
Those sentiments were all expressed in fervent, genuine, grassroots opposition to what?
Healthcare reform.
Right, healthcare reform. Angry mobs who are carrying video cameras instead of pitchforks, but video cameras do hurt when you're poked with them. They showed up en masse to scream at their elected representatives at town halls all over the country. Their complaint? The government wants to give them healthcare. But they don't want anybody giving them healthcare. Their motto, give me liberty, and give me death. Speaking of death, a lot of these protesters were upset about President Obama's famous death panels. They'll be used to decide whether senior citizens get to live. Now,
actually, Peter, I had those up in my basement.
Really?
They were really good, yeah.
The death panels.
Yeah. Then I replaced them with some nice oak.
Now, these death panels are, of course, a paranoid delusion, but that does not mean they're not a good idea. Americans love to watch panels sitting on judgment on innocent, helpless people. Imagine Simon Cowell saying, honestly, you're so wrinkled and unattractive, and really, you have no future. It'll be on the new reality show, So You Think You Can Live.
We're a panel over here. Wouldn't you like to just try the death thing?
I would.
Bit?
And you know, I have some time on my hands. Yeah. So why not?
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
What criteria would you use?
If they're irritating.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, really, mm-hmm. that would be number one.
If they're in too
and
good
you know,
a shape,
old people are often so yeah. irritating, don't you think?
Well.
Oh, yeah.
No, actually
no,
not.
No, no. I find young people more irritating.
All right. Sophia, here is your next quote.
You want me to tell you what my husband thinks? You ask my opinion? I will tell you my opinion. I'm not going to be channeling my husband.
That was somebody losing it a little bit. when she thought a questioner was asking her what her husband thought of foreign policy, mm-hmm. who got her pantsuit in a bunch.
That's the real Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton.
Exactly right. Now, to be fair to Secretary Clinton, the question from a student in Kinshasa was inaccurately translated as, quote, "What does Mr. Clinton think through the mouth of Mrs. Clinton?" unquote. And Mrs. Clinton understandably lost her cool. You can't blame her. There's been a lot of that on her world tour. For example, she made a vodka toast with Vladimir Putin, and Putin started going on about how old Bill used to love the kamikaze shots. So there's some evidence, though. She's under some strain, though. In Ghana on the same trip, she was asked about American policy toward third world debt. She responded, "Look, my marriage is fine."
We don't channel anymore, but other than that, it's good.
By the way, it turns out the translator made a mistake. The questioner was really asking what, not Mr. Clinton, but Mr. Obama thought. Confusing the two men has also been a problem for Hillary, especially now that she has to pretend to love President Obama, too. Here's your last quote.
"It was unique in that there were a 500,000 people not stabbing each other to death at a concert, and that hadn't been done before."
That was a woman named Grace Slick, who, unlike a lot of other people who claim the same thing, was actually where 40 years ago this weekend?
Woodstock.
Right. You know what they say? You've heard this. If you can remember the 60s, you weren't really there. Well, now nobody remembers the 60s because they're all really old. Baby boomers who wear out their walkers running back and forth to commemorations of the most trivial events of their youth are all talking about the music festival that served as a symbol for their generation. For you younger listeners who don't really get it, Woodstock, the whole deal, imagine Bonnaroo or Lollapalooza without adequate sanitation or food.
Grace Slick was hot, I'll tell you that.
Here we go.
There you go.
So were you there? Did
no.
you go?
Really?
No,
how was it back, back in the day, Roy?
Well, actually, I was on stage. And, little drums.
Yeah.
Little drums.
And, yeah, I remember Country Roy and the Fish. They were great.
Yeah.
And I delivered a baby.
Yeah.
And I was that baby.
See? There you are.
My God.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if they actually had a reunion concert? All the people who were there the first time came back.
Oh,
even
boy.
The dead ones, because there's a lot of them.
I know. But everybody who could, you know, they'd like reserve their spaces at Yasgur's farm by just sitting in a place and saying, like, "Hey, everybody, get off of my lawn!" Right?
Get off of my lawn!
You'd have people getting up and warning about the brown Cialis.
Uh-huh.
There's some bad Lipitor out there.
Yeah.
Don't take it, man.
And of course, the headlining act will be Crotchety, Stills, Nash, and Old. Anyway, we're actually going to talk more about Woodstock later in the show, but right now, Carl, how did Sophia do in our quiz?
Three correct answers, Peter, so that's good enough to win for Sophia.
Congratulations. Yay. Well done.
Thank you.
Thanks for playing. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Charlie, with 7 weeks remaining until the German elections, one of Chancellor Angela Merkel's allies, a woman named Vera Lengsfeld, has put up campaign posters which stresses a quality she and Ms. Merkel share. They're what?
Wrinkles.
No.
Angela Merkel was properly revolted by getting a back rub from George W. Bush. I don't think he went around to all those women. They are short.
No.
Tall.
No.
I'm narrowing it
the
down.
The photographs of the...
German.
No. You could say these are photographs that were taken of both ladies at a formal event, and it seems to stress one characteristic that both ladies share. You can say the campaign...
Décolletage?
Exactly.
Ooh.
Cleavage.
Ooh.
Very good. The posters depict Merkel and fellow CDU party member Vera Lengsfeld sporting matching evening gowns, matching hairdos, necklaces, and, well, matching Marianas Trench-like cleavage. The slogan printed on the posters, quote, "We have more to offer," unquote.
So that would mean that Angela Merkel is the titular head of the Democratic Party.
There you are.
Oh, come on.
Langsfeld said more than 17,000 people have visited her blog since Merkel's cleavage shots assaulted the public.
Oh, God.
Some people have commented on the blog that the photos are, quote, witty and cheeky. No, wait, those were some other photos. By the way, and this is all true, the photos have been publicized. They've prompted such real international headlines as, quote, Merkel's weapons of mass destruction. And my favorite, Deutschland Buber alles.
I just realized.
I just hope Berlusconi doesn't get any ideas.
Oh, Lord.
I just realized that when you come around behind the president and stick your thumbs in her neck and give her a little...
Yeah.
You can also look over her shoulder.
You think? International mystery.
That's so. What he was up to.
You gotta have boobs if you wanna impress tycoons and roofs. You need boobs.
Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Al Dimitriev calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hey, how are things in beautiful Minneapolis?
Things are great right now. It's summertime.
I know. That lasts like 2 or 3 days, and then I've been there.
And then for about 6 months of the year, it feels like I'm living through Solzhenitsyn's novel.
I know. It's great. Without the fun, though.
Yes, the Gulag Mall. I know that novel.
Well, welcome to the show, Al. Now, you're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Al's topic?
I wanted to go to Bali, but I had to settle for Bayonne.
Nobody was able to take their dream vacation this summer with the economy in the tank, but this week we heard about an ingenious method for improving one's holiday on the cheap. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about making a luxury cruise out of a canoe trip, if you will. Choose the true story, you'll win Carl's voice on your answering machine or voicemail, if you like. Ready to play?
Oh, let's go.
First, let's hear from Amy Dickinson.
We all do things on vacation we wouldn't do in our regular life, like play beer pong or make out with that guy in Mykonos or lose one or more parts of your bathing suit while body surfing. Well, all of this is fine if you never come home from vacation, but if you absolutely must return and have picked up a bad tan, a drunken companion, or a nasty, persistent, and unexplained itch. Well, now you can just have it all erased. Companies are springing up that will alter your vacation pictures, making it look like you are slimmer, younger, or hanging out with Mark Wahlberg instead of Stavlos, the pool guy. Gay Chofi from Allendale, Virginia, had her photos from the Jersey Shore digitally enhanced. She said, "Well, I told my mother I met Bruce Springsteen, so I had his face superimposed over my ex-husband's. I also asked him to take off 15 pounds and make my teeth whiter. Now, when I look at those pictures, I actually think I had kind of an awesome vacation."
Photoshopping your vacation photos to make it all look better than it really was. Your next story of a summer adventure that did not break the bank comes from Charlie Pierce.
For the past 10 years, Al K. West of Frederick, Wisconsin, has journeyed to Pamplona for the annual running of the bulls. This year, however, the economic downturn and the struggle to keep his feed store open made the trip unfeasible. Undaunted, West has decided to bring his annual thrill back home. Next week, he will host the first annual running of the trout. Contestants will line up at the bottom of an abandoned spillway leading into the Haywood River. At a signal, water will be sent down the spillway along with 2,000 farm-raised brook trout. Contestants will have to run upstream and, actually, up fish to reach the finish line and win a $100 gift certificate for West's store. "I don't expect anyone to be hurt," West explained. "Very few people have ever been gored by a trout."
The running of the trout in Wisconsin. Your last story of a budget vacation comes from Roy Blunt, Jr.
In August in France, tout le monde goes on vacation. But in these belt-tightening times, the French are cutting back on their holiday pleasures, and they resent it. According to an article in The Economist this week, however, their disgruntlement has been eased by a publishing sensation. The number one bestseller in France is being marketed as an inexpensive way to make your own skimpy vacation seem not so bad. Virtually every French vacationer is carrying a copy of Philippe Monteur's uproarious memoir-cum-diatribe, Vacances à Merde. The author recounts an expensive 2 weeks in Mallorca 2 years ago, during which everything went drastically wrong, from spending 3 hours stuck in a dramatically malfunctioning Air France toilet while experiencing turbulence to being thrown up on by a policewoman's horse. If you think you're not having much fun, at least you probably haven't had a dance floor accident like the one that cost the author of Vacances à Merde his left leg. For the book's price of 20 euros, the ads for Vacances à Merde point out, your vacation gets a relative upgrade worth thousands.
All right. Here, then, are your choices.
What was the name of that book again?
Vacances à Merde.
Okay. Ah,
just checking.
So here's the deal. One of these stories is true. Is it that, from Amy Dickinson, people are taking to photoshopping their vacation photos en masse so as to make their vacations seem better than they were? Is it from Charlie that a guy who couldn't make it to Pamplona to run with the bulls is arranging for he and his friends to run with the trout? Or from Roy Blunt Jr., everybody in France is feeling better about their own mediocre vacations because they're all reading a book about a truly terrible one. Which of these is the real story about people making their vacations seem a little better than they are?
Well, I tend to read The Economist once in a while, and I don't recall that story. So I'm just going to have to go with Amy's story.
Amy's story about people photoshopping their vacation photos.
Yeah. Sounds like something I would do.
All right, well, All right, then.
And good for you.
We spoke to somebody who was actually involved in this whole shenanigan.
We've had photographs of people who've gone out, probably just out on the open lake, and they've asked us to retouch in an image of a whale's tail diving down into the water. They were on a whale watch.
That was Peter Walters. He's general manager of Precision Imaging Chicago. He was recalling a particular vacation photo touch-up request. Congratulations, Al. You got it right, of course. You've earned a point for Amy. You've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home answering machine, needs no digital improvement. Well done.
Thank you.
Thanks for playing with us today.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we ask people who've spent entire lifetimes accomplishing things about things they don't really care about. But when it comes to our guest today, entire lifetime is a bit of an exaggeration. Last year, he was elected to the House of Representatives from the state of Illinois at the age of 27. He's the youngest member of that august body. We're so glad his parents let him stop by. Congressman Aaron Schock, welcome to Wait, Wait. All right, so we already teasing you about your age. You're 28 now. But seriously, how odd is it to be the youngest person in Congress?
Well, you know, the old adage about coming to Congress is you spend the first couple of months looking around thinking, wow, how did I get here? And then you quickly look around the room and you scratch your head and go, gee, how did they get here?
Right.
And
how would you know an old adage?
So, it's an honor to be able to serve, I think, in Congress at any age, certainly. And, you know, obviously we've got a lot of challenges facing the country, both domestically with the economy and some of the, you know, issues we're dealing with right now with health care.
Yeah, issues. Right? Look, you were voted hottest freshman member of the class. So that, I think, you know, is pretty cool, right?
Well, there's definitely worse things you can be voted.
That's true. Is being known as the hottest freshman congressman, is that like an honor, or is it so graded on a curve you don't really, you know, take it seriously?
Are you being critical of my competition?
No, well, I'm just saying. Seriously, though, you ran in Congressman Ray LaHood's old district. He retired and is now the Secretary of Transportation. It was an open field. There was a primary. There were Democrats. You won it all, which is great. You must have had to confront doubts about your young age, right?
Well, some of it was negated by the fact that I served on the local school board, got elected to the school board when I was 19 years old, and then served two terms in the state house when I was 22 years old. So, you know, I think some of that was negated by, believe it or not, having more experience than even some of the much older candidates in the race.
So,
and maybe you just had more, like, Facebook friends.
That's also helped. So you ran and won for the local school board when you were 19. Excuse me, Aaron Chuck, were you a dweeb?
No, actually, I wanted to go to college, and I had all my high school credits at the end of my junior year, and they wouldn't allow for early graduation, and they wanted me to take 8 hours of study hall, and I got accepted to U of I, wanted to go to college, and they said, no, we're not letting you go.
So, and thus a political career was born.
And that the rest is history.
Right, and so they eventually went before the death panel, and we have no more of them.
But don't you think 8 hours of study hall would have prepared you pretty well for serving in Congress?
That's true. I want to get back to your personal life just for a second. A couple more questions. You're only 28. You're a congressman, which is a pretty significant thing. You must have, like, some sense of what your future might be. I mean, it's only, let me think, do a little math, 7 years till you can qualify to be president. You thought about that?
You know, I'm flattered people say that. I've had people ask me that. But, you know, who knows what the future holds? I mean, this is a two-year position. Hopefully the voters will feel that I've done a good enough job to give me another term. There's a lot of variables that play into, you know, what's going to happen in 4, 6, 8, 10 years down the road.
For your reelection, are you going to arrange to once again artfully accidentally leak a photograph of yourself shirtless as you did last time?
Well, actually, that did not surface until after the election, thankfully.
Oh, really? You think, because we're talking about a picture that got famous in TMZ, which still loves you a lot, in which you're lounging by the pool, showing off a pretty premium-level craft brewed six-pack, if you know what I mean. Because of that photograph, you were asked once, we found this, whether you felt, in your professional congressional opinion, whether you or President Obama had the better bod. And you said you didn't know. Have you had a chance to check it out? Because we know what guys are like. I'm a guy. You're out there, you're hanging out at some congressional thing. We're checking each other out. We're seeing who's bringing it. So what do you think?
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint. The opportunity has not presented itself. However, I will say that at the White House picnic that I was invited to, Michelle was there, First Lady Michelle Obama, with a sleeveless shirt on, and she was looking pretty buff.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually complimented her on her arm.
You know, it's interesting. You did? You actually went up to Michelle Obama. You said, hey, nice guns. What did you do?
I did.
Come on. No, stop. What did you say to the First Lady of the United States? I want to hear it.
We were along the rope line at the White House. I had some guests there that I brought with that wanted their picture taken with her.
Sure.
And so I said hello to her, and I chit-chatted, and I said, you're looking good. And she just kind of laughed at me, and I said, seriously? I said, those are some arms. And she said, well, you made a nice compliment about myself, and then she moved
no,
out.
Stop. So, no, stop. No, no, sir. No, sir, you're not going to get away with it. What did she say to you? She made a nice compliment about myself. What did she say?
Something to the effect of, you're not too bad yourself.
Aha! Uh-huh. And then you guys went into a pose-off, right? Like at the end of a bodybuilding competition?
You know, I bet that never happened with Mamie Eisenhower.
I bet not.
It just never did.
I gotta say, you know, elected to Congress at age 27, big deal. Gotten some props from Michelle. Mm. That's something, sir.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
You know, I think Joe Biden overheard it and got a little jealous.
I'm sure. Because I've noticed Joe's been on the elliptical ever since he met Michelle. Well, Congressman Schock, we are delighted to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game that we're calling...
I'm Wavy Carl. Watch out for the brown acid. It's nasty.
As we have mentioned, this is the 40th anniversary of Woodstock, the great free music festival that wasn't supposed to be free, and wasn't it Woodstock? So we're going to commemorate the event a little further. We're going to ask you three multiple-choice questions about Woodstock. Get two right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Congressman Aaron Schock playing for?
Now, the congressman is playing for Caitlin Silhan of New Orleans.
All right, here's your first question then about Woodstock. Despite its association with the 60s counterculture, Woodstock was not a political event, mostly. The one exception was when activist Abbie Hoffman leapt onto the stage to demand support for some political prisoner he was upset about. But what happened? Was it A, the crowd started chanting, "You're harshing Armello, you're harshing Armello"? B, he slipped on the wet stage, flew out, and fell into a mud pit. Uh-huh. Or C, Pete Townsend hit him in the head with a guitar.
I think I'm going with B.
You're going to go with B. He slipped on the wet stage and fell into a mud pit. There were mud pits, but in fact, Pete Townsend hit him in the head with a guitar. His cause might or might not have been just. Townsend was having none of it during his set, so just kabang, and Abbie Hoffman was not heard from again at that event. All right, you have two more choices here. Next question. One of the unscheduled performers at Woodstock was singer-songwriter John Sebastian. What was unusual about his performance? A, because he had not been announced, he had to improvise three new songs on stage. B, he was high on acid the whole time. Or C, it was the wrong John Sebastian. It was just some guy with the same name who jumped onto the stage when he heard the name called.
How about B?
You know how B, he was high on acid? You're right, sir. You're right. John Sebastian was tripping.
Boy, that's kind of a default answer.
I know. But the thing is, John Sebastian didn't know he was going to perform, so he was tripping on acid. And that's why he said from the stage, and this is an actual quote, "I'd like to sing you a song. Actually, I'd like to dedicate it to, there's a cat, and I really don't know his name, but I remember that Chip said that his old lady has just had a baby, and that made me think, wow, it really is a city here, but this is for you and your old lady, man. And now, whew, that kid's going to be far out," unquote. All right, this is exciting, Congressman, because you've got one correct with one to go. Get this one, and you will win it all. Jimi Hendrix famously closed out the Woodstock Festival, playing just before dawn on the last day. But Woodstock's promoter originally wanted another artist to close the show. Who was it? Was it A, Liberace, B, Roy Rogers, or C, Sonny and Cher?
Sonny and Cher.
You're going to go for Sonny and Cher? You could see that at Woodstock? Sonny and Cher? I'm just asking.
Final answer.
Sonny and Cher. It was Roy Rogers.
Roy Rogers.
The promoter, Michael Lang, said, quote, "I wanted Happy Trails to close the festival." We all grew up with Roy Rogers. Sadly and happily, Rogers turned them down. Oh. Carl, how did Congressman Aaron Schock do in our quiz?
Now, this is one the congressman lost, Peter. He needed at least two correct answers to win for Caitlin Silhan. He had just one correct answer.
I'm so sorry. But I have to ask, Congressman Schock, is this the first time you've lost anything ever in your life?
It is. It's a very humbling moment.
It really is. You needed this. This is going to temper your steel in a weird way. This will help you go on. Congressman Aaron Schock represents Illinois' 18th Congressional District in the U.S. House of Representatives. He's the only member of Congress born in the 1980s. Congressman Schock, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Good luck to you.
It was fun.
Bye-bye. In just a minute, Carl sees a plastic surgeon about some rhymoplasty. It's our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Charlie, Michelle Obama, an inspiration to many women, of course, but that inspiration took a tragic turn this week when a woman in Dallas dislocated her shoulder trying to do what?
Wow. Pat Michelle on the back.
No, Michelle wasn't there. This woman didn't so much want to see Michelle as be like Michelle, or at least appear like Michelle.
What, like pat her shoulders or something? You know, like.
No, she should have stretched before entering the dressing room.
What? Did something to do with getting dressed?
Yes.
I think that she tried to hang up the dress while still wearing it.
No, basically, I'll just tell you, she dislocated her shoulder trying on a dress that she saw Michelle Obama wearing.
Oh.
Was Michelle still wearing it?
No, Michelle was... That's how, yeah, she was wrestling. Give it to me, you!
Well, how was I wrong then?
Well, the idea was like Michelle Obama wears a dress.
Right.
Okay? It was the rose print sleeveless dress that they were offering at Talbot's. And she runs down there, and there's such a crazy rush
to get these
dresses that she actually, trying to wrestle it on herself, she dislocated her shoulder like the way that a python would unlock its jaw to swallow a goat. She detached her shoulder to get it into the dress. Her desire for the dress was literally stronger than the bonds between the bones of her skeleton. And this woman will probably not play football again. But she did not stop her from taking home the dress. Quoting a Talbot's spokesperson here, quote, she handed the clerk one of her credit cards and was taken out in a stretcher with the dress on.
With it on.
She would not take it off. The shoulder injury is bad. It's nothing compared to what happens when people mimic Barack Obama style. Police are still looking for a Denver man who went missing inside a pair of gigantic mom jeans. Amy, finally secure with its place in American academia. Harvard University is branching out beyond higher education. What else is it now offering?
Beyond higher education.
Yes.
Harvard.
Drive-through snobbery.
I was actually thinking about food.
So it's a consumer good, but it's not food. You may not be a brainiac, but you can look like one.
High-waisted jeans.
What?
High-waisted jeans?
Yeah, okay, know. In my world, that means you're smart. But no.
In my world, it means you speak with a very high voice.
Pocket protectors.
No, you're close enough, actually. It's clothing. It's a menswear line.
Oh.
So maybe you didn't suck up enough in high school to get into Harvard, but you still want to look like a man who spent $50,000 a year to get classes from overworked teaching assistants while the famous professors get arrested on their front porches. Now you can. According to Women's Wear Daily, the new university-approved Harvard Yard menswear line will include, quote, short-sleeve plaid shirts, Liberty print wovens, seersucker shorts, regimental stripes, sporty knits, pattern jackets, and fancy pants. All in a contemporary tapered fit, unquote.
How about smarty pants?
You get smarty pants, too. Either or both.
Seersucker shorts, like you're not going to get beat up, you know.
Enough.
Right.
If there's some part of you that has not been stuffed in a locker.
By all means.
You buy the pants, the stick that goes up the rear is all separately. By the way. It's true, though. This fall, pompous is the new black. Charlie, sure, it's still summer, but this week we read about a musician who's planning a new Christmas album. Who?
Motley Crue.
No. Among the new classics, Tangled Up in Tinsel, it is
Bob?
All over now,
Bob's
Baby
doing,
Jesus.
Bob's doing a Christmas album?
Yes, he
Excellent.
Is, Bob Dylan. Imagine the faces of the children this holiday season as you put in Bob Dylan's brand new Christmas album. Mommy, what's wrong with the CD player? My ears. Was I naughty this year, Mommy? According to the blog BullyPulpit.com, Dylan has already recorded at least 4 songs for an upcoming Christmas record. Here Comes Santa Claus, and I'll Be Home for Christmas, among them. Plus some new songs he's written especially for it, including It's Okay, Ma, Santa's Only Bleeding, and Subterranean Sick of Eggnog Blues.
Can you just hear him doing Little Drummer Boy? I mean, is that song not annoying enough? Now we gotta hit Billy.
Can I play for him? Me and my drum.
Me and my drum.
John is in the basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat, batch out laid off, says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. Look out, kid.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's also known as 1-888-924-8924. You can always send an email, we like to read them, at waitwait@npr.org. Or you can go to our website, which is at waitwait.npr.org. You can download our Wait Wait podcast there. You can also find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Auditorium in Chicago or upcoming dates on the road, including shows in Pasadena and Carnegie Hall in New York City. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, it's Elizabeth from Denver, Colorado.
Elizabeth from Denver, we've been waiting for you. How are you?
I'm great.
Denver is one of my favorite cities in the world. What do you do there?
I am an auditor for the State Department of Revenue.
Oh.
No cheers?
No.
Oh.
I was just thinking Colorado and skiing and outdoors and fun, earthy, crunchy, and then you show up and audit their tax return. But do you wear like a fleece when you do it?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Well, Elizabeth, it's wonderful to meet you in your non-professional capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks, you'll be a winner. Ready?
Woohoo!
Woohoo indeed. Here's your first limerick.
What's on telly? Oh, dear. Patrick Swayze. Quick, let's change it before I go crazy. But where's the remote? Over there in my coat. Well, let's watch this then. I'm just too...
lazy.
Yes, indeed. If you are British right now, if you are British, there is a 1 in 6 chance you're only listening to this show because the radio is just too far away to get up and change the station. The British healthcare organization Nuffield Health found nearly 1 in 6 people say that if the remote control in the TV was broken, they would just sit and watch the same station instead of getting up to change the channel. More than half said they can't be bothered to walk their dog. The medical director of Nuffield Health warned that laziness in Britain is becoming epidemic. And quote, if we don't start to take control of this problem, a whole generation will become too unfit to perform even the most rudimentary tasks. In addition... Here is your next limerick.
Young giraffes don't wear low-slung blue jeans. Ducks don't know just what whatever means. It appears human essence is long-term pubescence. We're the only species that has...
teens?
Yes, teens.
Aren't we lucky?
Evolutionary biologists have known that humans do a few things that are completely unique to our species. For example, we blush, we have dreams, we kiss, we marry Larry King. And we are the only animal that experiences a prolonged adolescence. Other animals, one day they're babies, the next day they're wearing green pants on the golf course. So why did teenaged humans evolve? One theory, published in New Scientist magazine, says that it's because our large brains need much more time to fill up with useful knowledge. For example, we don't come pre-programmed with the dexterity or knowledge necessary to unclasp a bra in the dark. But thanks to years of teenage struggle, by the time we're 20, we're able to apologize awkwardly for not being able to do it. Here is your last limerick.
My husband says, drink up, my dear. This new health report fills me with cheer. Turns out this cold brew is real good for you. Women's bones grow strong when they drink...
beer.
Right. Hey, wow. Ladies, want to avoid osteoporosis? I'd like you to meet my little friend, the beer bong. According to a new study in the journal Nature, women who regularly drink beer have bones that are stronger and healthier than those of wine drinkers or teetotalers. Scientists think that's because high levels of silicon in beer slow down bone thinning and boost the formation of new bones. This news was greeted with cheers of approval, particularly from bar owners and frat boys, who said that ladies' nights and keg parties were just evidence of their longstanding commitment to women's health. And right now, some teenager is going to his girlfriend, no, it's good for you. Carl, how did Elizabeth do?
Elizabeth was perfect, Peter. Elizabeth, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done.
I am thrilled. Thank you.
That's great. Congratulations, and thanks for playing.
Thank you very much.
Now it's little pink drinks with paper umbrellas, mixed up things I can't even pronounce. A long neck in her hand, now a man that's feminine. Whatever happened to beer drinking women?
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players has 60 seconds in which they can answer as many fill in the blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Amy Dickinson and Charlie Pierce each has 3 points. Roy Blunt Jr. has 2.
Huh.
Does that not seem fair to you, Roy?
No, it seems wrong.
Well, Roy, you are, in fact, in third place. So you're going to go first. Okay. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. Thousands of people packed a Cape Cod church Thursday for the wake of Special Olympics founder blank.
Eunice Shriver.
Right. According to transcripts released Tuesday, former political advisor blank played a key role in the firing of a U.S. attorney.
Karl Rove.
Right. A man in Illinois was jailed after the judge accused him of blanking while in court.
I read this. He yawned.
Yes, he yawned boisterously. Guitar legend and inventor blank died this week at the age of 94.
Les Paul.
Right. The International Olympic Committee announced Thursday that the 2012 Olympics will mark the debut of women's blanking.
Boxing. In
yes,
the Olympics.
Boxing. A bank robber in Austria ran for his life when he encountered blank.
A bank robber encountered his wife.
No, the bank robber ran for his life when he encountered a 6-inch-long Yorkshire Terrier guard dog.
Oh.
The thief was robbing cash drawers and waving his gun around until Sika, a tiny terrier armed only with a shrill bark and a fuselage only half a foot long, but full of moxie, awoke from her nap. The fierce little dog leapt from her doggy basket, frightening the thief, who put down his gun and ran away. Carl, how did Roy do on our quiz?
Roy had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points.
And well Roy done, Roy. All right. You flip the coin. Charlie has elected to go third, so Amy, you're up next. Here we go, fill in the blank. President Obama held a reception at the White House on Wednesday to celebrate the confirmation of blank to the Supreme Court.
Sonia Sotomayor.
Right. According to the Washington Post, former Vice President Cheney felt that during the second term, blank turned soft and stopped taking his advice.
George Bush.
Right. Divers recovered wreckage from a crash between a helicopter and a small plane over the blank.
Hudson River.
Right. Federal officials visited a maximum security prison in Michigan to see if it would be a suitable location to transfer detainees from blank.
Guantanamo.
Right. A Syracuse city councilor came up one vote short in his attempt to get on the ballot for re-election after he blanked.
Died.
After he forgot to sign his own petition. Mm. NASA said this week that without more funding, it will not meet its goal of tracking 90% of the potentially deadly blank out there.
NASA, space junk?
Asteroids, actually. The Walt Disney Company announced that they've hired playwright blank to write and direct their heartwarming new movie about Anne Frank.
Playwright... Terrence Rafferty.
No, playwright David Mamet.
Oh, no!
Whoever told you you could hide with men?
Wow.
The new Nissan Fuga will be the first car to have a state-of-the-art air conditioning system that blanks.
State-of-the-art air conditioning system that makes coffee. Cappuccino.
No, the new first air conditioning system that will block unpleasant smells.
Oh.
No longer will a nice drive be ruined by stink, or rather, no longer will you be able to lie and say the stink is coming from somewhere outside. When external sensors detect an unpleasant aroma, the intelligent air conditioning system closes all intake valves and releases a forest scent. Oh. To counter any smell that made it through, the Fuga also has a mechanism for dealing with unpleasant internal smells. You lift a handle on the passenger side door, push the door open, apply foot to the passenger, and kick him out. Carl, how did Amy do on our quiz?
Amy had 4 correct answers for 8 more points. She now has 11 points, but Roy still has the lead with 12.
I didn't know those either.
And how many, then, does Charlie need to win?
5 correct answers.
Oh, my gosh. All right, Charlie, this is for the game. Here we go. Fill in the blank. Ted Kennedy, Desmond Tutu, and Billie Jean King were among those awarded the blank this week.
The Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Right. The FBI and police began an investigation after the healthcare debate led to a blank being painted outside a Georgia congressman's office.
Swastika.
Right. More than 2,000 people were forced to evacuate after wildfires raged across blank.
Nevada.
No, California. General Motors announced that the new blank should get 230 miles per gallon in city driving.
The electric car, whatever
right.
it is.
It's the Chevy Volt, right. Yeah. The woman who won the title of 2008 Connecticut Nurse of the Year may be stripped of the honor after it was revealed she blank.
She was not a registered nurse.
Well, actually, good enough. She was only pretending to be a nurse. Although he criticized PGA officials after the Bridgestone Invitational last weekend, blank said he was not fined by them.
Tiger Woods.
Right. After 15 years of trying, a 110-year-old tortoise is finally going to blank.
Beat the rabbit.
No. I wish. Be a father. Be a father.
Oh,
Billy the
really?
Tortoise knew
Same thing.
That 47...
Took a sweet time about it, didn't he?
Well, Billy the Tortoise knew that 47-year-old Tammy was the tortoise for him, so he made a move. Tammy played hard to get, and 15 years later, the two finally got together and are now expecting.
Oh.
Said Billy and Tammy's owner, she's been a difficult one to crack, which sounds horribly literal when you're talking about tortoises. Yeah. But it shows persistence pays off when you're chasing a woman.
Mm. Boom, 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 boom.
Carl, did Charlie do well enough to win?
He needed five correct answers, and Charlie had five correct answers.
Well, so with
13
well done.
Points, Charlie Pierce is this week's champion.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists to predict what will be the first law Congress passes when they return from their August recess. If you'd like to offer a prediction of your own, tweet it to us at twitter.com/waitwait. But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Lumber Liquidators hardwood flooring direct from the mill. Information at 1-800-HARDWOOD or lumberliquidators.com. The National Association of Realtors, whose members recognize that every market is different. A realtor is a member of the National Association of Realtors. And CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Gary Yek, Les Dolarchik, and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Spartacus Waltrover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. And this week we say farewell to our intern, Bethany Williams. Bethany had worked in film production in Los Angeles, but wanted to work in a business that was more heartless. She leaves with a respect for my famous temper and some impressive biceps. Thanks for all you did, and best of luck at school next year. Now, panel, what will be the first law Congress passes when they get back from their break? Charlie Pierce.
What always happens after recess? The Mandatory Nap Act of 2009.
Amy Dickinson.
Well, the first law they're going to enact after their recess is, of course, to extend their recess.
Why not?
Yeah.
Wishing for more wishes. Roy Blunt, Jr.
They're going to pass a unanimous resolution that they are not going to pass any more laws until the American people stop harshing their mellow.
And if Congress does any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thank you, Charlie Pierce, Amy Dickinson, Roy Blunt, Jr. Thank of all of you for listening. You're great. I'm Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR, National Public Radio.